This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Optimal Work Daily, episode 1282. Should you work for free? By Seth Godin of seth.blog. And welcome to this Thursday edition of Optimal Work Daily. Hope your April has been getting off to a good start this week. And today we're going to hear from one of our regular authors, Seth Godin. I'll tell you more about Seth and his site after the post. But for now, let's get it going and start optimizing your life. Should you work for free? By Seth Godin of seths.blog. That depends on what you mean by work and by free. Work is what you do as a professional when you make a promise that involves rigor and labor, physical and emotional, and risk. Work is showing up at the appointed time, whether or not you feel like it. Work is creating value on demand, and work, for the artist, means putting all of it or most of it on the line. So it's not work when you indulge your hobby and paint an oil landscape, but it is work when you agree to paint someone's house by next week. And it's not work when you cook dinner for friends, but it is work when you're a sous chef on the line on Saturday night. And free? Well, you're certainly not working for free if you get some cash at the end of the night, but what about a 9-minute segment on 60 Minutes about your new project? Or a long interview with Krista Tippett on her radio show? Should you get paid for that? Clearly not. Not if you think you'll be able to turn that platform into positive change, into increased trust, into something that moves you forward. As more of us work with abundant ideas, not scarce resources, the question comes up more often. I'm not delving at all into the idea of donating your work to a cause you believe in. That's not a selfish calculation, it's a generous one, and I'm all for it. But to do it for that reason, because paying your work forward is the right thing to do. Harlan Ellison is gifted, inspired, and entertaining, but his profane refusal to work for free confuses work for money with work for actually valuable attention. In his case, he's right. The attention on the DVD had no real value to him. Yes, they could pay for that, but see the point about positive externalities in just a minute. Of course, many people who would have you work for free value attention far differently than you or I might. No. Writing a guest blog post for a little blog is probably not valuable enough to you. No, designing a logo for the zoo for free is probably not valuable either. And the argument that it is valuable, it's good for your portfolio, is inevitably selfish and irrational. The lions get their food, the vets get paid, and even the guy selling peanuts doesn't do it for free. On the other hand, for a long time it made perfect sense for opinion leaders without big blog followings to write for free for the Huffington Post. And there's still a line of people eager to write for the New York Times op-ed page, not for the money. And if Oprah calls, sure, answer her, even though her show isn't what it used to be. The more generous you are with your ideas, and the more they spread, the more likely it is your perceived value goes up. There are double standards all over the place here. There was a national kerfuffle from people who should be doing something more productive about Amanda Palmer giving musicians a chance to practice their hobby or voluntarily gain exposure. But no one complains about all the showcases and music festivals that don't pay musicians a penny. There's a law against having interns do work that ought to be paid for, but college football players give up their health and their time to participate for free in a billion-dollar industry. Positive externalities are one of the magical building blocks of the web. When the work you do creates useful side effects, like the smell wafting from the bakery down the street, it's not only selfish to prevent others from partaking, it's actually stupid. The infrastructure we all depend on only works because we've made it easier than ever for ideas to spread and be shared. That's different, though, from bespoke work and live work and risky work on demand. The challenge of this calculus is that it keeps changing. The landscape changes, and so does your work. When I started my professional speaking career 15 years ago, not only did I speak for free, my company even paid money to sponsor events so I could speak for free. When TED offered me a chance to speak for free years later, I took it because, in fact, the quality of the audience, the attention to detail, and the chance to make an impact all made it worth it. But when SXSW, a corporation that makes millions of dollars a year, offers me a chance to be a speaker, pay my own way, and hope to get some attention from their very overloaded audience, it's easier for me to say, free makes no sense here. Some of the factors to consider. Do they pay other people who do this work? Do their competitors? Am I learning enough from this interaction to call this part of my education? Is this public work with my name on it, or am I just saving them cash to do a job they should pay for? If I get paid, is it more likely the organization will pay closer attention, promote it better, and treat it more seriously? Do I care about their mission? Can they afford to do this professionally? Will I get noticed by the right people, people who will help me spread the word to the point where I can get hired to do this professionally? What's the risk to me, my internal monologue, and my reputation if I do this work? If you're an up-and-coming band building an audience, then yeah, free, free, free. It's always worth it for you to gig, because you get at least as much out of the gig as the organizer and the audience do. But when you've upped and come, then no, it's not clear you ought to bring your light and your soul and your reputation along just because some promoter asked you to. Here's the heart of it. If you're busy doing free work because it's a good way to hide from the difficult job of getting paid for your work, stop. When you confuse busy for productive, you're sabotaging your ability to do important work in the future. On the other hand, if you're turning down free gigs because the exposure frightens you, the same is true. You're ducking behind the need to get paid as a way to hide your art. You just listened to the post titled, Should You Work for Free? By Seth Godin of Seths.blog. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. 93% of employers agree. Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. And one of the things I really love about Indeed is that it filters out those incompatible applicants. So when you're hiring, the process is much faster and you only have to consider applicants that are already likely to be a great fit. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/startup. So just go to Indeed.com/startup right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/startup. Terms and conditions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And thanks to Seth for letting us share his work today. He is a super popular writer. He's got 19 best-selling books. And he's also the creator of AltMBA, an online leadership and management workshop. So what AltMBA does is it uses digital tools to engage with small groups of 120 students in an intense four-week process. It's been going on since 2015, and it's transformed the lives of more than 4,500 people in more than 70 countries. And a little bit more about Seth, he has been writing daily on his blog for over a decade. More than 60,000 people have taken his online courses, and he's got 5 TED Talks. His site is definitely worth checking out. He's got a lot to offer there. You can find his huge blog, but also those books I mentioned, as well as podcasts, speaking engagements, and so much more right there on his site. So come by Seths.blog to check it all out, and I do have that linked in this episode's description. But I think that's going to do it for today. Hope you have had a great one. Hope you enjoyed the post from Seth. And thanks so much for being a subscriber to our show. And I'll see you back here tomorrow, where your optimal life awaits.